Welcome to the City Point Church podcast. Thanks for joining us. Every day is an opportunity to take hold of. So we hope this message inspires you and builds your faith, that it helps you have more of a God perspective for your day. Enjoy.
My heart is open. My ears are alert to grow and change in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, take your seat. I received a rock this morning with eyeballs on it, and one fell off. Great present. Awesome. Oh, well, I've got a good word in my heart today. A few weeks ago, Pastor Mel was preaching, and God just started to download. I love that. And has anyone ever read the Bible, and you just get this download of revelation as you're reading? Yeah. It's just such a great thing. You know, I've been thinking about the church and the times we live in, and I'm convinced that we, you and I, have never lived in the time in our history as people that the church has needed to be the church more than now, amen? And more than just the church being the church, we need to be the church of Jesus Christ, the way Jesus wants it to look. And I don't think we've ever had a time that's been needed like now. That sort of church is a church that doesn't retreat. It's a church that's not lukewarm. It's a church that's not sitting on the fence. It's full of people not picking bits out of the Bible. It's full of people not living by feelings, okay? But rather we are full-throttled people. We are full-throttled faith believers, fully into God, fully a Christian, and fully committed no matter the cost. You know, I remember when I was younger and I got my charger and it had a 4-speed on the floor manual, and I thought all manual cars only had 4 speeds until I drove a car one day and I was on the highway, you know, revs around $3,000, and I'm just this thing screaming on the highway, and I'm like, look down and I'm like, what's this 5th thing? And I thought, oh, let's try it, clutch in. Put it into 5th, whoa, the car takes off and the revs go down. I'm just like, this is brilliant. Has anyone ever driven a car to not realize that it had an overdrive, a 5th or even a 6th gear in it? And I remember also when mum had it, no, I'm the only one in the house, me and Tiana, go manual team. I remember in my mum's little hatchback, I don't know what it was, Swift, something like that, and it's an automatic, and there's a button on it, and you press the button, and it's overdrive. Has anyone seen an overdrive on an automatic before? This is like technology city, right? And I remember about the first time I ever discovered these things, and so I put a 5-speed in my charger then, and when I would do racing, I got all the ratios right, so I hand-picked my 5-speed Supra box to go in my charger, and I got my charger converted so the box fit in. My charger's not a battery charger, it's my car, and I used to go racing on the weekends, and my uncle did the motor up, and I had a Bathurst-style motor in there, and in first gear, when I first got the car, I would go to 90 k's an hour in first gear. And then I discovered, through conversations with my uncle, and he was telling me about how he's blueprinted the motor and it's all balanced, and tail shaft was balanced, all my wheels were balanced, flywheels were balanced, everything's balanced. And he said, "Gray, you can go a lot more than 90 k's in first gear. You can probably push that to 100. And so I started doing 100 k's in first gear, and then I'd slam into second gear and get to about 120, 130 k's before I had to change. Most races on the street are over around 120 k's. Youth, don't do this at home. Like, this is, I'm not a good example from Pastor Gray here today. But I learned that if I pushed that extra 10 k's, I would win. I was a winner. And sometimes our Christian life is like that. Sometimes we give it 90, we give it till it feels okay, or we get to that uncomfortable feeling. But God wants you to know this morning that there's more in your life, and that you can get to the end of your race and you can win. In other words, you can fulfill the call that God has placed in you. I don't want anybody in this church to ever feel like you need to change gear at 90Ks an hour. I want everybody here to know that there is more in the tank. There is more in your life. God has planted so many seeds in you that whatever seed has grown, there is still more trees and more to be harvested in your life. Amen? You believe that? Some people ready to receive this today? Awesome. There's one or two. That's great. I love it. So I've called today's message Full Throttle. I had to get a manly title for Father's Day today, so that's what I came up with, Full Throttle. Living full throttle means to not be swayed by opinion, to not be swayed by other people's opinion. Living full throttle means to not only being committed when it suits you or feels good or works with your schedule. In other words, we don't come to church on Sunday when you wake up in the morning and you go, I feel pretty good. Let's go to church. Okay, church isn't a decision-making thing in our lives as Christians. Church is part of what we do. It's our extra arm, so to speak. Going to church is part of being a Christian. It's not a Sunday morning, how do I feel, living by feelings decision. The way we talk, the way we think, whether we read the Bible, whether we go to the prayer meeting in October, these aren't things we discuss in the family. These aren't things we make decisions over. These are the automatic things that put us into overdrive so that our Christian walk is successful and fruitful. Amen. So in our house, we don't ever, and we never have, not just because we're pastors, we have never since the day we've been married discussed church on Sunday. We just wake up and we go. And our kids have grown up in the same culture, and we never have Sunday morning kids issues. I know families that have Sunday morning kids issues because people don't want to go to church, or we just go to church. We made a decision when we ran the music team that even if we were sick, not in COVID season, but even when we were sick, we would play and we would die in the green room afterwards. Why? Because God's in the house. God's in the house, and that's where I ought to be, is where the house of the Lord is. So this is what it is. To be a full-throttled Christian means to not be choosing to believe one thing but live in another thing. You know, I love the saying that's often in the pastoral world where the pastor is the same person off the platform as on the platform. And I often thought about this, and I used to think to myself, well, I need to make sure I've got the same language or I've got the same attitude. So if on the platform, you know, passive Graham is all excited, well, then I need to be excited off the platform. So I tried living this fake Christian life off the platform to be the same as when I'm on the platform. There's a little difference when I'm up here is, first of all, I'm anointed. Second of all, I'm called to preach this message today, and the Holy Spirit is moving through me. Now, when I'm having breakfast in the morning, it's not quite the same. So I tell you what, when you're up here and preaching like I am now, this is an amazing feeling. And sometimes I get off and I am exhausted, and all I've done is walk from that speaker to that speaker. But because God is moving through me. It's the same for you, though. When you step out and you pray for somebody, in that moment, it's not quite like having dinner around the table and doing the dinner prayer, you know, the religious, you know, God bless this meal, thank you for the hands that prepared it, my wife, and, it's not quite the same as when you take that step or that leap of faith and you lay your hand on someone's leg that doesn't actually exist, and you say, in Jesus' name, I command this leg to come from heaven and let it be done on earth as it already has been ordained in heaven, and you see your leg grow. That sort of faith is a little bit different to the faith of praying around the dinner table. That's reality, right? This is reality. So being the same off and on platform, or being the same in your normal life as opposed to your Sunday life, or being the same is a faith attitude that is built inside of you, and it's called being Christian. It's called, that's the title we've given it in the Western world, but it's being Christian. In other words, it's a person who has given their heart to God, and now a child of God is who you are, not a daily decision. a child of God and everything that that everything that that has that goes with it is who you are, not a decision of what you do or a game that you play with God. It's who we are. We are Christians, and I love that. So this is what it's been to be a full-throttled Christian. Christianity is now your identity. Christianity, Christian, God, believer, son and daughter of God, is who you are. It's not a coat you put on. Does that make sense? Who you are is a person that is sold out to the house of the Lord. So therefore, we're at the house and nothing has priority over it. This is strong. I know that I'm talking some strong stuff here today, but God doesn't want people that are sitting on the fence. The Bible says he will spew you out of his mouth. That's what the word of God says. He wants people that are all in. People, and it's really simple to be all in. It's just a decision. It's just taking non-negotiables off the table and stop making them negotiables in our world. You know, the negotiables that we have in our world are things that should not be there. There's other worldly things that are non-negotiables that we think about and we talk about, but the statutes and the principles and the values that are found in the Word of God, like prayer, reading the Bible, speaking life and faith and going to church and building the house of God and raising your kids, these are non-negotiables in our world. The question for us isn't whether we do them or not. The question we ask is, how do we do them better? That's the question we ask. As parents, the question Mel and I always ask is, are we doing these as good as we possibly are? Are we instilling the values into our kids by allowing them play Fortnite for so long? Is that instilling godly values into their world so the negotiable thing is Fortnite, not the value itself? Does that make sense? It's the thing, it's not the word. Because the word is Jesus. Before he formed, Jesus was the word in Genesis. And so the word is who he is. The word is who God is. It's an expression that we get to read so we understand who he is. The word is a non-negotiable in our world. I love it. I've got to keep to my notes. This is already going off. Revelation 3:15 says, "So then, because you are lukewarm and neither cold nor hot, I will vomit you out of my mouth." I tell you, there's no vomiting happening in the house today, amen? We've a house full of hot, on fire Christians today. At 500 years of age, Noah began to build an ark in obedience and in faith. It took him 100 years. That's literally our whole lifetime just to build the ark. 100 years. The book of Genesis teaches us that Noah was the only righteous God-fearing on earth. I tell you what, I know it's not one person on earth anymore. There's churches, but sometimes I think God must look on planet earth right now and be looking with the same sort of eyes he looked back then, going, where's the righteous God-fearing people? And we put our hands up and we say, City Point North, here we are. You know, there's more, but I tell you, God wants us to be God-fearing, righteous, pursuing Christians, amen? And he looks and he finds us at City Point North. Humanity had given themselves up back in Noah's day to sin. They gave themselves over to sin. In other words, Moses was different to everybody. Everyone else thought a different way to Noah. Everyone else lived for themselves. Everyone else lived by feelings and not by the word. Everyone else did it, believed it, and agreed together on it. A little bit like our world today. Everybody agrees on this or that or thinks it's okay to have your own sexuality or your own opinions or your own style of faith. We're all going to the same place. How we get there doesn't matter. Well, it does matter because the Word of God says the path is narrow, which means it's not whatever faith you want to formulate. It's the Word of God styled faith. It's a word, it's a Jesus church. It's not just a church of whatever and whoever, okay? It's a Jesus church. The majority does not vote. God has voted already about the way and the foundation of his church and what that would look like. But everyone else has it wrong. And I feel like this in the world a little bit today. I love how Donald Trump always talks to the media. Oh, you're rubbish media. Oh, you're fake news. I love this because here's the thing. Is his word is his word and they have it wrong. And it doesn't matter if you and I hear what SBS or says or what this news outlet says. None of it matters. His word is the truth word of what he said. And they are all producing something that is tainted. It's not the truth. This world has a value set, a principle set, a moral set, a way of living, a way of Christianity. They try and put Christianity into a religion bracket. Can you believe that? They call us religious. Can you believe that? I'm offended today. You know, how dare you call me religious? I'm not religious. I'm just the Son of God living the way the Word from the Father has told me to live. Whatever that calls me, it's not religious. It's living true. It's living by the word that he spoke, not by the word that the world says he spoke or what he meant or interpreted in their theology. The theology is here. Get a true Pentecostal Bible scholar to tell you theology. Don't just listen to the world unproven, somebody that, you know, got their credentials through a cornflakes packet, sort of theology in your world. You know, I've been alive for 40 great years. I've graced this planet. I walk this soil every day, give my blessing to this planet. Anyway, enough of me. It's Father's Day. I can go for a little bit longer. And I realize something. I don't know everything. And here it is, ready, the big one right now. Either do you. I've read Psalms chapter 1, verse 1 1,000 times. I know it off by heart. Blessed is the man who walks not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor stands in the way of sinners, nor sits in the seat of the scornful. I know it off by heart. I've had so many revelations from that verse. I've preached it just a month or two ago. And here's the thing. Every time I look at it, I realize I know nothing. The Bible is an onion. And when you first give your heart to God, he peels back layer number one and we read the word and we go, oh my goodness. And we are blown away, right? Then we mature in our Christianity and you read the same verse and he just pulls back another layer of that onion and another layer until one day I read Psalms 1 verse 1, blesses man who walks not in the counsel of the ungodly. And I say, God, I don't walk in the counsel of the ungodly. And he says, but Gray, it's not people I'm talking to you about today. It's the counsel of the ungodly in your mind that I'm talking to you about. Another layer. There's always more revelation from every verse. Amen? Amen? We need the God of revelation to be speaking to us every day. Full-throttled Christians that are into the Word and not reading a book but are reading the living Word of the Almighty Creator God of the whole universe, the one that loved you and formed you and speaks life into you and gives you His Spirit to anoint you so that when you pray, people get healed, hearts open up. That God is the God of this living word. So when we read it, we aren't reading a novel, we aren't reading a book, and we aren't reading great stories. We are reading literally rivers of living water filling our souls so we don't quench, our thirst isn't quenched, but we continually look and say, God, today, what layer are you going to rip off in your word for me? Amen. Amen. This is what it means to be a full-throttled Christian. For 100 years, Noah continued to build the ark in faith. 100 years, he was mocked and rejected by his peers and his friends, his relatives, by everybody. For 100+ years, he lived with a set of principles that no one else agreed with or did. For 100 years, he would have felt all alone. And I like that thought, because sometimes in our life, don't we? We just feel all alone. You know those seasons where you just feel all alone, all on your own? And it's only been 7 days. He was 100 years, he would have had that feeling. Literally our whole lifetime, he would have had that feeling. But in all of that, Noah remained a full-throttled Christian. In all of that, he would go to work every day and build the ark with his family. And he would hear things, you know, in the community. They would speak against him, blaspheme against his God that gave him this vision of the ark and the faith to build it. But he would get up with faith to one day see on planet Earth what has never, ever been on planet Earth before. A flood. Could you imagine? Can I say to you today in your life, don't be persuaded by what the people at work say. Don't be persuaded when your Christianity feels weak because the devil tries to convict you because you didn't pray last week. God's not looking up there and going, counting, oh, they half an hour. It's pretty good. You know, Tuesday, you know, didn't pray Tuesday. Well, let's see what happens on Wednesday. Nah, missed Wednesday. Oh, this isn't good. And then all the angels line up and they're all watching this show of your life going, Thursday went by, Friday went by, Saturday, and can you believe they even dared to come to church? My house on Sunday, they haven't prayed or read the scriptures all week. God's not in heaven like that. The devil's in hell like that. The devil, you know, goes around planet Earth looking for those who he can devour. In other words, those who he can fill with guilt, you know. But today we're gonna learn how to live a life so that when we miss a day, because we're all, any humans in the house this morning? There's a few of us. We all miss a day. We all do it. Hey, John, Hebrew John. All of that knowledge you have and revelation, and every now and then you might miss a day. Hey, like a few years ago, you missed a day, didn't you? There was a day there somewhere. We're humans. Pastor Gray, we miss a day, okay? Before I was a pastor, though, all right? So we miss days. Do you want to know how to live life still empowered, even when you miss a day? Do you just want to know how to do this? Strong Christianity that's not affected by the enemy's plan to attack you in your mind or in your heart. Well, just hold on, and it's going to come in just a moment. I want you to hear that you too can live a life like Noah, committed to God and his ways, not lukewarm, but on fire for God, not sitting on the fence, but standing for biblical living, not following what everyone else says, but believing what God says and staying true to his word. I want to remind everybody here today that with God, you have what it takes to be this full-throttled Christian that I'm talking about here. Romans says it like this. He says, not conformed to this world, but be transformed. Are you willing to be transformed every single day that you wake up and breathe air? Constantly transformed for Jesus. There's a story in the Bible that Jesus told, and it's a parable of 10 virgins waiting for the bridegroom. This is what it says in Matthew 25. Are we screens out this morning, are we? Yeah, that's good. So then the kingdom of heaven shall be likened to 10 virgins who took their lamps and went out to meet the bridegroom. Now 5 of them were wise and 5 were foolish. We're all the wise ones here today. Those who were foolish took their lamps and took no oil with them. But the wise took oil in their vessels with their lamps. But while the bridegroom was delayed, as they always are on a good wedding day. I did a wedding on Friday at the Gold Coast, and the groom was late. How good's that? And so he was 10 minutes late, and then she was another 40 minutes after that. I tell you what, normally I'm at home watching Netflix. By the time they just got there, normally it's all over for me. But anyway, but it was a great wedding, happy marriage for the rest of the day. Just going to be late for everything forever. Anyway, but while the bridegroom was delayed, they all slumbered and slept. And at midnight, a cry was heard. Behold, the bridegroom is coming. Go out to meet him. Then all those virgins arose and trimmed their lamps. And the foolish said to the wise, give us some of your oil, for our lamps are going out. But the wise answered, saying, no, lest there shall be not enough for us and you. But go rather to those who sell and buy for yourselves. And while they went to buy, the bridegroom came. And those who were ready went in with him to the wedding, and the doors were shut. Afterwards, the other virgins came also, saying, Lord, Lord, open for us. But he answered and said, assuredly I say to you, I do not know you. Watch therefore, for you know neither the day nor the hour which the Son of Man is coming. Because there will be two gathered in the field, and one will look, and one's disappeared. In other words, one didn't have the oil and fell asleep in their faith. See, five virgins fell asleep in their faith. Five virgins thought it's okay to just rock up without putting much effort into their Christian walk with God. Five virgins thought it's pretty good to treat Christianity like a religion and become religious about it. And long as I go to church on Sundays, pray around the dinner table, all's good. But that's like a virgin with only enough oil in the lamp to burn for a few hours. That's like a virgin here who falls asleep when we're waiting for the Son of God to return to planet Earth. See, I often think, how does the world think about us Christians? Forever, since Jesus came and died on that cross, we've been talking about him coming back again. We've had this faith thousands of years, the same story. Hey, true, eh? Like for thousands, God's going to come back. Don't lose the faith. But he is coming back. Don't lose the faith. Our Jesus, the Son of God, is going to come back. And like every generation before me, I think it's me and my generation. Yeah. Keep oil. Keep enough oil to just at least burn for 120 years if you get to live out your days here on planet Earth fully like that. Just 80 years, 90 years, can't you just keep enough oil just for that? Come on. We don't have to keep oil for 2,000 years. The Christian faith keeps that oil. The house of God, the church of God will never be smothered out no matter what happens on planet Earth. There is oil in the house to remain sustainable, amen? There is enough transformation in our community for the house of God to always have people in. The power of the Holy Spirit at work in Caboolture and Moray Field is enough to sustain us so the church will remain in this community. Church, will we not just have a little bit of oil, but will we get deep into God, read the Word, pray with fire in our hearts, come to the prayer meetings, bring your kids to church on Sunday. Speak faith and life into people's worlds at work and remain full of oil and burning bright for Jesus Christ. Whether it's 80 years, 100 years, 120 years, or you're passing it to your kids for the next generation. Whatever it is, the best inheritance we could ever give our kids is oil. Amen. That's the best inheritance we can give. Not our houses. I'll give up my brand new house any day of the week to have more oil for my Tobin to build this church, and for Bobby to be the next pastor, and for Annie to be the song leader, for them to have oil inside of their lives and who they are, because they are Christians. They aren't choosing a daily walk of Christianity. Amen. You receive that today? Come on, that's for us, church. You can do it. You can do it. You can do it. No matter what your life is, you don't need to be in full-time ministry. This is a commitment of your heart. It's a commitment of your mind. It's a commitment of your soul. Amen. Amen. I love this story. Five full-throttled Christians committed and prepared themselves. There was no way five virgins were ever going to miss out on Jesus coming. No way. Church, there is no way we're going to miss out on that Sunday that revival started at City Point North. Who's with me on that? There is no way our prayer is going to stop on Monday and we find out in heaven if we prayed one more day, that was the day our son or daughter was going to give their hearts. There is no way. I've already been praying for 5 years. All of heaven has been into action over the power of my prayer. Because that's what prayer does. Prayer agrees with heaven. That's what we do. In heaven, did you know this? In heaven, there is already all the answers. There is already all the healing. There is already all the power. There is already all the authority. It's all there in heaven. When we pray, we agree, and what's in heaven is then done on earth. That's what prayer does. Prayer is a transactional thing. It's a transactional thing. To remain a full-throttled follower of Jesus, we are always willing to learn and grow. This is how we remain a full-throttled Christian with oil in our tank. Learn and grow. We prioritize the house. We remain in believer community. This is how we do it. I'm giving you the tools today. We choose biblical principles and values over our personal opinion and the world's view. We try our best to live righteously. I worded that specifically. Let me say it again. We try our best to live righteously. We try our best. Because remember, I said at the beginning, this isn't about perfection. It's about giving your best. It's not about being the best. It's about giving your best. You are already righteous through Jesus Christ, the Bible teaches us. So now what we do is we try our best to live in accordance to that righteousness. We fail. We are human beings. We try our best. We seek God through prayer and reading the Word, and we seek the heart of who God is. This is really important. I learned it as a kid. We don't seek the miracle God. We don't seek the provision God. We seek God for who He is as God. Yeah. So don't have a relationship with God just because He gives, because when we are looking for what He gives, we have a blurry vision of who He is as the giver. Amen? So we seek the heart of who God is. We in this house are hot Christians, not looking to be lukewarm Christians. We are fully on the side that's persuaded for righteous living, not seated on the fence. That's not who we are in this church. We are consumed with who God is, how He has created us, and the mission that He has given everyone. It consumes us. It consumes us, no matter whether you're in business, no matter whether you've got a job you don't like, or whether you're in ministry, or you're a stay-home mom or dad, no matter who you are and what you do, it's not what you do, it's who He is and who you are. Amen? We are consumed. So like Noah, you have what it takes to be strong to the end. Amen? To fill the lamp and to remain bright until Jesus comes or your days have ended on planet Earth. I just want to finish with this one comment. Together, let's keep seeking God and allowing Him to fill our jars so that we have the oil to remain, to endure, and give Jesus this life of ours. Amen. Do you receive that today? You receive that today that you're going to be a full-throttled Christian. Amen, amen. I tell you what, I'm just excited inside right now. Pretty excited. Can we just close our eyes? Father God, I just want to pray over City Point North right now. Father, once again, like we do every day, we give our hearts to You. We give You our lives. We commit who we are and everything about us. We commit it to You. Father God, some of us feel guilty in our daily life. But we choose today to not let the enemy have that ground or that footing in our lives anymore, because that doesn't define us. That's not who we are. We are sons and daughters of the living God. So, Father, would you just show us every day how to live our best life, how to live pursuing to give you our best in righteousness. No matter what people say, peers say, best friends say, parents say, children say, Father, we're committed to you and your ways. Thank you for this church and the strength and the backbone that's in our lives. I thank you for that in Jesus' mighty name. Amen. You know, while every eye is closed, if we could all just keep our eyes closed for a sec. You might be here today and you've been listening to this, and I want to invite you right now to become a Christian. You know that you're not a Christian and you're listening. Maybe you're feeling in your heart a little bit of a thump going on. I believe that that's the Holy Spirit convicting you. The Bible says he convicts us of righteousness, right living. And so right now, you want to be on this journey. You want to know that your life is headed towards, not that you're perfect, but you're on the right path. You're going the right way. You want to give your heart. You know that God's real. You can feel it even in this room here today. And you would like to give your heart to God. You would like to accept Jesus into your life. If that's you, every eye is closed. I'm looking. I just want to pray and I want to know who I'm praying with. So would you boldly lift your hand just so I can see who I'm about to pray with this morning? I'm just going to look around a couple of times. If that's you, just be bold. No one can see. It's just between you, God, and me. Just lift your hand. I see your hand there, sir. Congratulations. You can put that down. Is there anyone else here this morning? Thank you, Jesus. One more time. I'm just going to look. I know that there's one person.